We're out of there. We're not into positivity. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Hopefully it's not downtrodden. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices." All right, class, here we go. Question. What are the devices, or the device, that he's talking about in context? And if you don't have an answer, I'll give you a little bit of support here. Nope, it's not a cell phone. It has nothing to do with a cell phone at all. Maureen, you got one? You're getting on the right track. When you don't forgive, yeah. Part of it. All right, so what Paul's trying to get them to understand is, all right, this young man he's repentant. He wants to make things right here. And if you don't grant him forgiveness, which would be the right thing to do, faithful and just to forgive, you know, of sins, that's the way God is. If you're not going to be faithful and just to forgive, then what does this young man carry around with him that he can't get off his back? He carries around guilt. Guilt. So guilt is one of this is the device. And that, it's a touchy thing, just because guilt is a part of life, and it is actually, you know, it's necessary. It's, you have to be around it because it's a part of life. But like any emotion, anything that gets perverted or taken out of its place and put into an inordinate place, any emotion like that, that's the way the devil really works with emotions. He takes them out of their place and perverts them and makes them into things they shouldn't be. And so it's the device, it's a satanic device, it can be. You know that. Because one of his titles is, think about it, associated with guilt. One of his titles is the accuser of the brethren. So this is what he does. He uses guilt to, and not right guilt, but wrong guilt. Just a weapon. You know, I guess it's not a new thing to do this, but you take the noun and turn it into a verb, and now they, you know, weaponized. It was a weapon, now it's weaponized. So you weaponized guilt. And so let me give you three things about this. And it's a device the devil uses, and it is incredibly powerful. When he uses it the wrong way, but it's an incredibly destructive thing. And just like any emotion that's misplaced or perverted, it's incredibly destructive. But I want to talk to you and show you how to recognize, because we do it. We're all familiar with this, and we've had it done to us. And so it's not just about them doing it to us and all that stuff. And I'm familiar with weaponizing and using guilt. People may call it a guilt trip, because I've done it and because I've had it done to me. And you're familiar with it because you've done it and you've had it done to you. And so what you need to know about that is a satanic device. It's how the devil, it's one of the ways he operates. But let's pray, and I'll give you three big points about this. Recognizing it, the results, what happens when this is guilt is used this way, but then how do you remove it? How do you get away from it? So let's pray, and we'll talk about these three things regarding guilt. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Help us apply what we're reading. Help us, it's very practical stuff here, but I pray that you would help us with internalizing it. I mean, putting it, make some application in our own lives about when we do these things to other people to manipulate behavior, manipulate people's lives. And then when people do it to us, recognize what it is. And so I pray that you'd help us walk through this, just real practical stuff. But it certainly is a device of the devil, and that's probably why it's so practical. It works. And so I pray that you'd help us with this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so first, we're going to talk about recognizing guilt when it's being used as a weapon. You know, guilt in the right hands, I mean, the way God uses it, and we'll get to it in a minute, but God, it's used in the right way. It's a natural response it's needed. It's a part of life, but out of its context, people use it to manipulate people, and we'll see all that. So first thing about this device that God uses, I mean, God, that the devil uses, and it's not, you know, it's not your cell phone. I know we say device, but it's guilt. Guilt is the thing. How do you recognize it? Here's a few thoughts on how do you recognize guilt when it's just being used as a weapon, or when you're using it that way. Sometimes you use it that way. When very general and unresolvable accusations are made, when you just have this general accusatory, you know, broad sweeping, accusation against somebody or against you, that is just guilt as a weapon. It really has no. The reason it's just a weapon at that point is because there's nothing you can do about some broad, general, sweeping, you don't love me, whatever. Now, if we did deal with something specific, which we'll get to, that's different. But it's a weapon it's a device when guilt is a very general and unresolvable accusation. For instance, you remember Job's three friends? What did they say Job actually did? Or what did he actually do? What did they say he did? They just said he was wicked. You're just wicked because nobody's life would fall apart like this unless you're wicked. And so it's just a general statement. Here's the device. Guilt. I'm going to just throw this on you like a blanket, and you're supposed to accept this. I have no grounds for it. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't have any specific details. Just, Job, you're wicked. Because I can't imagine someone going through this and not having problems in their life. So Job's three friends are a good example. The point is, don't do that to other people. And you can recognize when it's done to you, when there's just this general unresolvable accusation. That is a device, using guilt as a device, as a manipulation. Number two, when forgiveness is withheld. That's where you are in 2 Corinthians. When forgiveness is withheld, when it should be given. We talked about forgiveness Sunday, but when it should be given. There really isn't much you can do. If you've tried to make the situation right, whether you need to apologize or you need to be ready to forgive, if you've tried to make this thing right and forgiveness is being withheld, just that's someone using guilt as a weapon. They're trying to hurt, they're trying to manipulate, they're trying to control. you, maybe because they're hurt, they want you to be hurt too. When forgiveness is withheld, and don't do that to people, and you can recognize it when it gets done to you. Third thing about recognizing guilt as a weapon, really, is when a person never acknowledges accomplishments. And this is, I'll give you a little personal testimony here. I noticed this with Ben, our oldest. Y'all know Ben. But I remember we were talking one day, and after I was getting on to him about something, and I realized what I was doing was I keep moving the bar so that there's no way for him to do what it is. There's no way to achieve. There's no way to be productive in this environment. And I realized that. I realized that, and I apologized to Ben. I was like, man, I've messed up. This is a terrible use of guilt. But when you never acknowledge accomplishments, that's just using guilt against somebody. You're just using it to manipulate. You're just using it to hurt them. Number four, when you regularly compare what you do to what they don't do, that is a you don't like it when it's done to you, but when you make yourself the standard and everyone you need to do what I do, and if you're not doing what I'm doing, well, then you're not meeting expectations. That's just using guilt to manipulate people because, you know, whatever you don't feel comfortable with what they're doing, whatever it is. But it's a device. You're using guilt as a device, the way the devil uses guilt. Just regularly comparing what you do to what they don't do, and their work to your failure, your work to their failure, that kind of thing. These kinds of things are just they're sometimes general, sometimes they're always personal attacks. Here's another one. When the past gets brought up and it has nothing to do with what's happening. When it's I'm sure y'all can think of examples of all of this, but when there's an issue, a real issue at hand, whatever the issue is, and you're trying to have some resolution with this, and then out of, maybe not out of nowhere, but yeah, but when you remember when this happened and this, and it's like, okay, I understand there are some cases where your history matters. Sometimes your history does matter, and people have to make decisions based on your history and your behavior in history. But not always does the history, your past, pertain to what's happening now. And just because something happened in the past doesn't mean it pertains to what's going on, and it, particularly when it's used against you or you use it against somebody else. And it's just a manipulation. It's just a device, using guilt as a device, as a weapon. That's what it is. It's guilt tripping. There you go, guilt tripping. And then number six in this little section, when there's no interest in resolving the matter. An accusation's brought up and sort of just left hanging over your head. Or you do it to somebody else. You just leave it over somebody's head. I'm not interested in fixing this. It's just, now look, I understand there's times to cut ties and you just, look, I'm not going to be around you because of this. I get it. But sometimes this weaponized guilt, the device of the devil, where you present a problem, and you present their personal problem with no interest in resolving this. I have no interest in resolving this. I just want you to make sure you feel bad about this thing. That's all I want. That's a satanic device. That is recognizing all of these things, six things here, there are probably more, but six things about recognizing guilt as a weapon. Now, second thoughts here. What are the results of all of this? Because there is a difference between godly sorrow works repentance to salvation. Worldly sorrow works death. So whatever the end goal of this thing is, usually tells you a lot about where it's coming from. If I can't resolve this thing, I mean, if the way you're presenting this thing, if it's an accusation out of the blue, if it's general, all these things, wherever this guilt leads, usually tells me a little bit about the source of it. So if the Holy Spirit is trying to bring some conviction or something, what he's trying to do is bring about repentance and salvation. When the devil brings guilt and accusation, he's just trying to destroy a person's life. And so how it's used, that's there's something to that. So here's the results of weaponized guilt. I can say weaponized, I'll just use that phrase. The first result, you find it in 2 Corinthians where we just read. The first result is the advantage goes to the accuser. If there's inordinate guilt, if there's just guilt that shouldn't be there, the advantage, first of all, goes to the accuser. When, like Paul said, you know, to whom you forgave anything, I forgave also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get the advantage. What's the advantage? Well, now I'm hanging guilt over your head. Now I can control your behavior. Now I can control your emotions. Now I can control a lot of things about your life if I can guilt trip you, if I can make you feel guilty about something you have no business feeling guilty about. And I want to make a careful balance here, because some things you do need to feel guilty about, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about things that are satanic devices, the satanic device here. So first result is the advantage goes to the accuser. Now the devil has the advantage. And all of this, you know, talk about possession and can you be possessed and all that stuff, who cares? If the devil has the advantage in someone's life, the life is going to be ruined. That's what happens. Second result is there is just unresolvable sorrow. There's no joy. There's just duty, and you can never do enough. There's no possibility of success. I had to reflect on that, think about that. That's how I was thinking about with Ben that one time. And it was just like, there is no possible success here. Any accomplishment is met with, well, why didn't you do this? Well, why didn't you do this? Okay, well, if I'm in the position of listening to that, I'm thinking, well, why don't you stop moving the goalposts and give me a structure so that I can be successful? And every time if I make a step in the right direction, hey, let's recognize we're moving in the right direction. So there is this, unfortunately, the results of guilt being weaponized and as a device of the devil, just unresolvable sorrow. There's no accomplishment. I'd say maybe there's lots of cases, but I think of mothers and guilt about their children. I think about survivor guilt. I think about maybe children's guilt in the case of divorce or something. But in these situations, it's like there's no resolution. You can't solve this. And so guilt is just this weighty matter that sort of eats away at your soul. So unresolvable sorrow. These are the results of this. The devil gets the advantage. You have this unresolvable sorrow. There's no winning. There's no success. There's no possibility of success. And the third result in a religious, you take this and put this in a religious or a political frame. And the result of that, these political circumstances or religious circumstances, the result is to get money from people. For instance, if the government decides, let's make it political, we'll say a political example here. So if a politician or politicians decide to demonize a business, the purpose of demonizing the business is to get money from the business. It's to say, hey, you're doing something wrong, so pay up. Hey, you're overstepping our boundaries, so pay up. This is just a satanic use of guilt in a political structure. It becomes about money. Here's the Pharisees. They create these standards. They're not Bible standards, they're just their own standards. And they put them on the people. And then they tell the people, bring your offerings, bring your money, and you can pay off some of these debts that you've incurred with God now. Y'all are probably all familiar with the whole indulgences thing. This was years ago in Catholic Church. And the idea is you literally pay for your sin, and they indulge you and let you do whatever you're going to do as long as you pay for it. As long as you're bringing the money, well, then your guilt is gone. So you take the satanic weaponization of guilt, you put it in a political context, it's just about money. You put it in a religious context, it's about money. These are the results. Personal result. People have sorrow. They can't have success in life. There's no opportunity. It's just you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You can never do right. You can never do right. Put it in a business setting. Well, you're wrong. You owe us money. You're wrong. You owe us money. You did this wrong. You owe us money. That's the results of this satanic use of guilt. So, How do you get rid of this? How does someone deal with guilt that's been weaponized, that's been used as a device to destroy people's lives when it's done that way? First of all, and these are probably pretty practical things, but before you even get to the practical part, first of all, Jesus Christ is the advocate of the guilty. So he is very much the advocate of the innocent. And don't get all super spiritual. Nobody's innocent. We're all sinners. Yeah. Okay. Got it. But there are crimes that people get accused of that they are not guilty of. That means you're innocent. You didn't do this. Jesus Christ, accused, crucified for nothing. The point is, Jesus Christ is the advocate of the guilty, and he is certainly the advocate of the innocent. In 1 John chapter 2, y'all know the verse. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the world. All right, so with that in mind, Jesus Christ is the advocate. He's the advocate for the guilty, and for sure he's the advocate for the innocent. With that in mind, here's a few practical things to think about. And you can't really completely avoid this, but there's maybe some things that you can do to not get yourself in a bind. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. What does that mean? Be as open and honest as possible. And keep in mind that people left in the dark think the worst. Absolutely think the worst. They'll think bad things because that's the imagination. So if you want to take the advantage away from the accuser, maybe be a little more transparent, walk in the light, so the accusation isn't credible. It's like Peter says, look, when they accuse you, that way their mouths will be shut. That way they have no basis for what they're saying. Because your life is such a testimony to Jesus Christ and such a sweet savor to God that these accusations that the world brings, it has no basis. Just like Pilate looking at Jesus Christ and he says, look, I don't find any fault in him. I can't find anything wrong with him. So walk in the light. That's not going to solve everything, but it might solve some things. Second thing, how do you take this weapon out of the devil's hand? Deal with specific accusations, not general stuff. It's interesting because Nicodemus defended Jesus Christ one time with all the priests and Pharisees. And the way he defended Jesus was he said, look, our law doesn't accuse people of generalities. If nothing has been done, I think it's John 7, if nothing's been done, then there's nothing to, if there's no crime named and proven, our law doesn't condemn a man like that. So if you have an accusation, let's deal with something specific, not some general, you know, you're a bad guy, you've done bad stuff, and you're a blasphemer. Let's deal with something specific. It's interesting that Nicodemus stands up for Jesus Christ there. You know, the law doesn't accuse people of generalities. If the crime isn't named, if it's not proven, there's no crime. So, if you're going to accuse someone of something, be specific about it. Seek a resolution to it. I mean, it's like, look, this is. I get it. Yeah, not every relationship can be fixed and all that kind of stuff. But if you're going to bring the accusation, make it specific. And if someone's going to just dump a blanket of generalities on you, it's like, okay, what are we dealing with? What is it that I did specifically? Because I mean, there's. Well, I just personal stuff. I mean, there's like, yeah. Specific. Be specific. Be specific. Another thing, and this is the last one. Set up some boundaries to prevent accusations. Maybe it's financial. I mean, every company has a financial, a structure for moving money so that one person isn't in control of the whole thing. And in a church setting, for sure, it's, I remember talking to Pastor Stowe years ago, and he was lamenting the fact that they have one guy that takes the money, writes it all down, and does the deposit. I'm like, are you serious? And it's like, even in a case like that, even if there is no wrongdoing whatsoever, just the appearance of something going wrong with the money, you know whose fault that is? The guy that touches the money. So how do you avoid that? Well, you set up some boundaries. Okay, you're responsible for this part. You take in the offering, you write it down. You're responsible for the deposit part. That's a separate responsibility. You're responsible for this part. And so you divide and you delegate and you create boundaries so that accusations can't be made, or at least they just can't be thrown out there. So set up boundaries. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's social boundaries. Maybe it's geographic boundaries. The point is, don't let your good be evil spoken of. And Paul sums the whole thing up really nicely in Thessalonians, where he says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Because in people's minds, if it appears evil, it is evil. So, avoid the accusation, abstain from the appearance of evil, set up boundaries, walk in the light, be specific, make people be specific about what they're talking about. And so all of these things, and understand, this is kind of a layout of this whole, the way the devil uses guilt. And you can see it. Our culture right now, this has become a part of the American culture, is people being victims and people being blamed. Guilt being laid on people without any possible resolution. That's a feature now of the American culture, where guilt is just blanketed over groups of people. The purpose is money. That's where the purpose is going to be. It's money is what it is. But you blanket the people with guilt, and you use that as this weapon. And the reason you know it's a weapon is because there is no possible resolution. There's no seeking a resolution. The only thing they're looking for, only thing people are looking for, it's like politicians, it's like religion, it's just money. But this, I mean, it's a real part of the American culture now at this point. But this is a satanic device. When guilt gets moved out of its place and put into a realm that has no business, and it gets used against people to destroy their lives. So keep that in mind. Don't do it. And if it's done to you, recognize what's happening. You can recognize what's happening with it. So I hope that's helpful. Let's pray. And we'll do some prayer requests. Father, thank you for this time together. I pray it's been helpful. I hope it's practical. It's practical to me. Makes sense. Certainly the devil uses, as the accuser of the brethren, just uses guilt to manipulate people's lives and destroy their lives. And I pray you'd help us avoid that whole mechanism, that whole way of doing business. Just avoid it. Avoid the appearance of evil. Avoid doing it to other people, manipulating their lives to get our own way out of them. Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for the light that you give us to walk in this life. And I pray you'd help us with these things. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.